Well, let us turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 18. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. One thing we hear a lot about today, and I'm sure we can all relate to it to some extent at least, is the desire and the demand for justice. For example, just in case you think, no, I'm not really into that, let's imagine that following the service, you return to the car park only to discover that your car is not there. And in shock, you look up and you catch a glimpse of it disappearing round the corner at the end of the street. In other words, someone has stolen it and is driven away in it. So what do you do? You call the police. And their reply is, I'm sorry, but due to a lot going on this morning, Sunday morning, due to a lot going on, there's not much we can do about it. And what is your response? Do you just shrug your shoulders and say, well, not to worry. As long as someone is getting the use of my car, that's fine. Is that how you would respond? I doubt it. Because you know your car has been stolen. And regardless of how much it was worth, your sense of justice tells you that that's wrong, and therefore you've been wronged, and you feel it deeply. You turn on the news, and you hear of people in various parts of the world treating other human beings terribly, ruthlessly, committing the very worst of crimes, demonstrating the worst example of man's inhumanity to man, and yet because of their position or because of their power or because of their financial clout, they get away with it. And how do you respond? Do you think to yourself, well, it's maybe not my preferred way of doing things, but if that's how they want to behave, then that's up to them. Is that how you would respond? I very much doubt it. Because deep down you know that such actions are morally wrong, and consequently you're appalled and you're angry at what you hear. And what is more, you're not only angry that such crimes are being committed, you're also angry that people can commit such crimes and get away with it. You're angry, and rightly so, because your sense of justice not only tells you that certain things are wrong, it also tells you that such wrongs ought to be put right. That's at least how the woman in our parable for today felt. That's how she felt. Which brings me to my first point this morning, and that is the Christian's desire for justice to be done. The Christian's desire for justice to be done. Now, as this parable begins, we are introduced to a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. Here was a judge who had no sense of accountability towards his creator, and therefore his work was not governed by God-given principles of justice or morality. It wasn't clear God-given distinctions between right and wrong that motivated this man to pursue a career in the law profession. Instead, he entered the profession and performed his professional duties from day to day purely on pragmatic grounds. And that pragmatism was almost certainly a selfish pragmatism. And I say that because in addition to having no fear of God, we are also told he did not care about men. Yeah, this judge, he wasn't governed by a sense of justice or compassion. He wasn't motivated by a desire to serve his community. He wasn't driven by a longing to help his fellow citizens. He had no sympathy whatsoever towards those who were being conned. And neither did he have any desire to bring to justice those who were doing the conning. After all, it would have been rather hypocritical for him to judge the corrupt when he himself was probably as corrupt as anyone. Here was a judge who made rulings and passed judgments on the basis of what benefited him the most. That is why this little parable is often called the parable of the unjust judge. But then living in that town was a woman, a widow. And from what we are told in verse 3, it appears that although she does not have a husband, she does have an adversary. Someone whom she's in a legal dispute with, and from what she says, it appears that she's in the right and the other person in the wrong. This woman has been treated unfairly. This woman has been treated unjustly. And being a widow, she doesn't have anyone to stand up for her. She doesn't have anyone to defend her rights. She doesn't have anyone to ensure that she gets justice. But then she thinks to herself one day, hang on a minute. That's what judges are for, is it not? Yes, that's what judges are for. And so she brings her case to the local judge. But being a judge who neither fears God nor cares about men, he's not interested in her case. Not interested. It's certainly not on top of his to-do list when he goes into work on a Monday morning, and consequently her request for justice is simply ignored. But that doesn't diminish her sense of justice. And that doesn't diminish her desire for justice to be done. And so we are told in verse 3, she kept coming to him. Kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. What we see in the case of this woman is a woman longing for justice to be done. And what could possibly be the relevance of that for those disciples to whom Jesus was telling the story? What could possibly be the relevance of that to those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ this morning? Well, that is where the context of the previous passage comes in. You see, as I've said on previous occasions, the parables of Jesus must not be read, although we often do, they must not be read in isolation. Instead, they should be read and understood with their original context. And if that is true of the parables in general, then it's certainly true of this parable at the start of Luke chapter 18. And I say that because this parable has perhaps been misunderstood and misused over the years. Well, in one sense, this parable should be one of the easiest to understand because we are explicitly told in verse 1 why Jesus told it. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And if you just start your reading at chapter 18, verse 1, and if you read the little 8 verses on their own, then on that basis we've perhaps concluded that no matter what I'm praying for, I should keep on praying for it.